know that we as a church have entered into a different stage of ministry, and I realize that for some, the things and the events of Sunday were difficult, and no doubt you have taken the time to consider some of those things over the last few days as we have. But I think God's Word is so important to us. If you and I are going to live a life that is faithful, a life that is a testimony, then our life has to be built upon the principles and the truths of the Word of God. I mentioned to you on Sunday, I'll mention it again tonight, you can either build your life upon the truth, which puts you on the right foundation, which allows your house to stand even though the trials do come and the troubles do come and the rains fall and the waters begin to rise. A house built upon the rock stands. But a house that is built upon deceit and lies, and a life that is built upon that which is not true, built upon men's philosophies and men's opinions, won't stand. It eventually will crumble. And so no matter what we face in this life, no matter what we go through, God's Word gives to us what we need to endure and to know victory. All of us have to face the reality that life is not always filled with good and plenty. We enter into life with hopes and expectations that our life we will experience only those things that bring us happiness, only those things which bring us fulfillment. Yet we're reminded by Job, young people, you can just make your way in. We're reminded by Job that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. All of us face disappointments. There are seasons of good and plenty. There are seasons of drought. There are times when life seems to go so well, then other times that life, nothing seems to go well at all. And the reality is we have to face disappointments properly. I want you to consider the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 5, beginning, if you would, with me in verse 13. There we read, "There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness." Solomon gives to us a right perspective, a right view. You and I can live life expecting much good and never desiring any evil, but the reality is there are times that we will be disappointed. We will labor all the days of our life, but at times we must face hardships and heartaches. A disappointment can be defined as the feeling of sadness or displeasure that is caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes and expectations. You came into here tonight, you woke up this morning with hopes, with expectations. Students woke up this morning with hopes and expectations for what their school year would be like. For some of them, their hopes and dreams may have been dashed very quickly. Teachers had the same expectations. I woke up this morning as a parent with an expectation different than any other year. All five are in school all day long. A whole set of new hopes and new expectations. You know, the reality is we have our hopes, we have our expectations, but disappointments come. And they come in many varied means. We have disappointments at home. We have disappointments at work. We have disappointments in the church. We even have disappointments in our favorite hobbies. In any area of life where we have expectations of good, there is always the potential for disappointment. All of us will face that struggle and the hurt that comes when our expectations aren't met. In 1858, Abraham Lincoln was dealing with a disappointment of not being sent to the Senate by the state of Illinois, even though he won the popular vote. But there was an obscure statute that invoked by the Illinois legislator that kept him from going to be their senator. When asked how he felt about the decision, Mr. Lincoln simply responded, "Like a boy who stubbed his toe, I'm too big to cry and too badly hurt to laugh." There was a disappointment that he had to face. And with the reality of disappointments before us, we have to ask ourselves, how do I face those disappointments so that in the end I become a person that is able to be a testimony of the believers, that I can live as a good light for others to follow, so I can set the right example? We're going to turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of James and the first chapter, James chapter 1 tonight, because James gives us some very practical points concerning how we will deal with disappointment. Follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 12, and then we'll have a word of prayer. "James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for our time tonight to be able to come and look into your word. I thank you for the practical truth and insight that the book of James gives to us. Lord, all of us face disappointments. Lord, we will face disappointments today. We'll face them tomorrow and other days to come. Lord, it's not because you are not a God that is good or gracious or kind. The reality is, it is part of the life that we are called to live. Sometimes, Father, our disappointments come because we have the wrong expectation, and we have to come back and face reality. Sometimes, Father, Lord, there's a need for us to learn through an event, and God allows such trial to come to teach us, and even as we sung, to mold a masterpiece. Father, we thank you that we can rest assured that we are in your hands. And Father, the work that you begun in our lives on the day of salvation, you will continue to perform it until we see Christ. And when we see him, we will be like him. What a glorious day that will be. Lord, I ask and pray that as we look at some practical thought for this time and season of our life, Lord, you would help us to understand your word, your truth, the principles upon which we can rest and build our lives. For it is as we build our lives upon the truth that when disappointments come, we can stand and be a testimony for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, James is going to give us four practical thoughts concerning disappointment. How do we as a believer deal with the disappointments that come our way? Whether that be a disappointment in a person, whether that be a disappointment in a circumstance, whether that be a disappointment with problems at work and you weren't expecting, and all of a sudden now it has changed things for you and it sometimes makes it harder. Sometimes it's just even in the fun that we have. We have a day set aside and we're looking forward to a nice day out with the family, and the reality is as we've checked our weather and we did all that we could, we made our plans, we wake up in the morning and it's no longer the sun is shining but the rain is coming and our plans are ruined. The expectation of that day, the hope of that day is gone. How do we handle those and keep a biblical point of view in all of those things? In James chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we find the first thought. James says, again, he gives the introduction of who he is in verse 1. And then in verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The first thing that you and I need to do if we are going to handle disappointments properly is see the good that God is doing. No matter what you are involved in today, no matter what comes your way tomorrow, understand this truth. God is seeking to do a good work in you. God desires to mold you and to shape you. God desires at times to refine you. Sometimes God has to bring trials and difficulties into the life so that He can remove from us the dross. And the only way that happens for gold to be purified is the heat has to be turned up. Sometimes God allows things to go well and God gives us that time of rest and peace. The Bible tells us that He is our good shepherd and He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. But in the very same psalm, He reminds us that He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And no matter where we go, there's no need for us to fear. If you and I are going to respond well to the disappointments that come in life, then we have to first of all see the good that God is doing. Now folks, you have to admit, when you turn to the book of James, this is not the counsel you would want to receive when you're disappointed. "My brethren, count it all joy." You might think, James must be crazy. He's not real helpful. He doesn't have the gift of exhortation and encouragement. I think he does. Because what you and I need to see and understand is that in it all, God is seeking to do good for you. And so James says, see the good. Sometimes what you and I only want is consolation in life instead of challenge. But folks, can I remind you what we talked about from 2 Timothy chapter 4 on Sunday? Timothy was told as a pastor to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And what three things was he supposed to do? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. How many of those are positive? Exhort, we know. You look at that and you say, that's somewhat negative. We don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be rebuked. I don't want to be rebuked. But sometimes, folks, the loving thing to do is not let someone stay in their sin. And it's also not to let us wallow in our disappointment. And so James comes and says, let me give to you a challenge. If we're going to avoid the pitfalls of our enemy, and that enemy is seeking to destroy, to devour us, then we have to see that in everything, God is doing a good work. So we're told, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I'm going to break that down a little bit for you tonight. The word count is an interesting word. It means consider. It means to judge. You and I are to consider the falling into temptations as joy. We are to judge them as good. Now the words fall into speak of being encompassed with or surrounded by. And the reality is sometimes in life we feel surrounded by the trials, surrounded by the troubles. It doesn't seem no matter where we turn and where we look, there's always trouble on every side. Ever been there? Here's what James says. Count it all joy when you fall into the middle of all diverse temptations. When there seems to only be trouble on every side, we still must see the good that God is doing. We are to look at them and see not the disappointment, but the expectation of what God is planning to do. Now let's be real honest tonight. That's a hard thing to do. It is hard when you are faced with a big disappointment to keep a right perspective. It is. When someone disappoints you, it is hard to keep a right perspective. It's hard to believe that God could do anything good from someone who has lied about you or done evil against you. But James says, look for the good that God wants to do. Because, folks, God is doing a work. And you know, sometimes someone does something against you and God gives you the opportunity to minister to them, to help them to be growing in their own spiritual life. Because when you offer that rebuke and you give them that exhortation, it is for their growth. You say, but they don't like it when I do that. That's okay. I don't like it when God's word does it for me. But isn't that exactly what God's word says it does? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, followed by instruction in righteousness, so that we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, perfect, mature. And James says, God allows these things in our lives that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But when we're faced with a disappointment, we need to judge all things as good. How can I do that? Again, look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working in you the patience, so that patience can have its work and you be perfected and entire. How can I have a right perspective and see the good? I can do that when I understand God is at work. Folks, you realize Romans 8:28 is still operational today. God is still working all things together for good. Philippians 1:6 is still operational today. That what He hath begun in you, He will continue. He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is at work in your life. God is at work in mine, even with the disappointments. The problem is when we allow disappointments to lead to discouragement and discouragement to lead to despair, we fail of the grace of God. Folks, you and I need to see that in everything, God is at work. And if you know our God, and if He is your God and He is your Savior, then you can understand that He is a great God. He is a good God. He is a gracious God. And He endured much for you so that He could help you endure in this day. But folks, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's from Him. So see that God is at work. And again, I'll remind you, why is God working? Romans 8:28 says God is working all things together for good. For what purpose? What's verse 29 say? The whole purpose, folks, of His work in your life in verse 29 is that you be conformed to the image of His Son. Can I remind you of this truth? I've shared this with you several times. God is not as concerned about your ease and your comfort as He is your Christ-likeness. God is not concerned so much of your circumstances as He cares about your character. God is at work and He is doing good in you. So if we're going to handle disappointments properly, we need to see the good that God is doing. Second, verse 3 and 4 tells us we need to search out God's ordained purpose. Again, verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If God is seeking to do good, and He is, then you and I can also conclude that every disappointment is designed by Him, and it has a purpose behind it. God is seeking to bring about true and lasting change in your life and my life. He's desiring that we be brought to the place of maturity. He has given us His word that the man of God might be matured. He brings circumstances into our lives and disappointments that we might be faced again with the truth of God's word to build our life upon it, that we might grow and mature in Him. Any wise parent realizes that as your child begins to grow, you need to begin to do less and less for that child so that they can learn to do the things they need to do when they're on their own. Sometimes you have to let them struggle through. Sometimes they have to fail. Sometimes they have to fall. And the best teaching thing that you can do for them is to teach them through their failure than to keep them from it. A wise parent knows how to walk their children through life with the principles of God's word instructing them. And folks, God wants to bring us to a place of maturity. So again, we don't need to ask why, we need to ask what. Lord, what is the purpose that you have for me? James is exhorting us to know that there is a work in us and there is a destination in mind. God has something He wants to accomplish in your life. He always has a purpose. Now, you and I may do some things without any purpose in life. Sometimes our teenagers do things with very little purpose in life. But God never does. There's always a reason for what He does. Job said it this way: when God is finished trying me, He's going to bring me forth as pure gold. We need to learn to ask God to show us the purpose that He has planned. Now, let me just say this to you tonight. God may not always show you immediately what His purpose is. So what is your responsibility then? Trust. But you ought to search it out. You ought to seek Him. Again, I remind you, as we were reminded by Brother Herbster, we are to seek Him early, to seek Him fervently. We ought to be searching and seeking the Lord. Then look at verses 5 and 8. We're told this: we are to seek the necessary help to endure. I love the words of verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord, because we're reminded a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God reminds us very clearly of what he desires, and that is a life that has a single eye. A life that is fully focused upon him. Verse 8 reminds us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Oh, they may look like a great spiritual giant, but if he can't decide if he's living for God or living for the world, that man's unstable. He's going to stumble. He's going to fall. And we ought to be careful that we are only focused on that which is good and right. You can either be laying up treasures in heaven or you're laying up treasures on earth. You cannot do both for long and do it well. You will fall. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But notice what James says here in the passage. When we go through a trial, when we are faced with a disappointment, one of the things that it does is reveal to us our need. Sometimes what the disappointment shows us is we need wisdom. So James applies it that way and says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Sometimes our needs reveal that we need a little bit more mercy towards others, or grace in our speech. Sometimes it reveals to us we have a pretty major character flaw that ought to get taken care of and ought to get taken care of quickly. And the reality is, whatever the need is, what James says is, here it is, seek the help. Seek that necessary help. So what do? Let him ask of God. You know what's great about this verse? It tells us that God is desirous to meet our needs. And it also reminds us that he alone has the ability to meet them. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he giveth to all men liberally, and will not upbraid us, and it will be given to him. James reminds us that we are to come and we are to ask. God wants us to seek him for the help that he alone can give. And again, what I love so much about the text is what it says. Not only does he give, but he gives liberally, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And when he gives, he doesn't upbraid us. You ever go to someone and ask for help and them meet you with the upbraiding tone? Why are you asking me that? You should know that by now. Why can't you handle that on your own? What's wrong with you? Sometimes that's how we deal with one another. I'm so thankful our God does it. See, I come to God and I realize through this trial that I need wisdom. And I come to God and I ask him for wisdom. And if I'll let him, he'll give it to me. You know what the next disappointment may reveal? I still need wisdom. And he won't upbraid me for it. But he'll give. Folks, you understand just how great a God we have? Because, let's face it. We're quick to upbraid someone. We're quick to mock someone. We're quick to put someone down. I'm smarter than they are. Well, bless your heart. I'm glad you're smarter than them. You're just not nicer than them. That reveals your own problem. It really does. God's not like that. And so what he tells us to do is come and seek him. Because he's the one who can give us the help that we need. Here's the last part that we need to see tonight. How do we handle disappointments? James tells us to serve in light of that which is eternal. Serve in light of that which is eternal. Look at verse 9 through 12. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich and that he is made low, because of the flower of the grass he shall pass away. James says, listen, it doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. You ought to praise the Lord for whatever opportunity he has given to you that you can serve. Sometimes the best way for us to serve is not the way that we would think it would ever happen. Sometimes the rich are made poor in their service, and sometimes the poor are made rich. But the reality is, let us rejoice in that service. Look down at verse 12, because verse 12 really gives us the right perspective that I want to focus on. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Verse 12 tells us plainly that we who endure, we who serve, even through the disappointments, if we remain faithful, God promises a reward. By the way, isn't that what we're really living for? I don't know about you, but I'm living for the fact that one day, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who made me and fashioned me and formed me, the one who knows everything about me, would be able to look down at my life and say, Jeff, you've been a good servant to me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, in order to get that, I may not have the applause of men. I may not have the appreciation of people, and that's okay. I'm called to be faithful to him. I'm not called to be appeasing to people. I'm called to be faithful to him. And sometimes as we seek to be faithful, some won't understand. Some will mock. Some will attack. That's okay. If we endure and we handle the disappointments and keep serving God and being faithful to him, he promises a reward to them that love him. Every disappointment has to be viewed from an eternal perspective. We used to sing a little chorus in my home church, with eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view, I will live each day for Jesus with eternity's values in view. It's a good perspective. I can live for the day, and I can live for people, or I can live for Christ, because I'm called to serve him in light of eternity. Sometimes I'm going to be disappointed. At times I'm going to be hurt. I'm okay with that. Folks, no matter what comes our way in life, I hope that you would take this perspective. Yes, I've been hurt. And yes, I've been knocked down. Yes, I have been completely disappointed. Maybe by the pastor, maybe by other people, maybe because of circumstances and problems that you face. But I hope you live each day with this thought in mind. All I want to do today is serve Jesus Christ. Because the disappointments don't matter, because they're going to come anyway. I'm disappointed at times in my hobbies. Had a wonderful opportunity to spend some time with Mark Herbstreit. Golfed 2 days in a row with him. Day one, great expectations. I thought grade two is going to be a whole lot better. Day two was a whole lot worse. Had more fun though on day two. You know why? Because the fellowship was sweet. By the way, day one, beautiful day. Not a drop of rain. All sun. Not a cloud in the sky. Day two started with drizzle, ended with drizzle. Still had just as much fun on day one as I did on day two. Day two as I did on day one. You know what? I can wake up in Newfoundland, folks, and I can serve God through the fog. And I'll be just as happy there, here, now today, as I will be when I wake up in Portland one day and serve the Lord in a new church. And I'll be just as happy 30 years from now, if I keep the right perspective. See, whether it's been in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, or the state of Vermont, with all of their different ideologies and thoughts. Good syrup, strange people. It was still good to serve the Lord. Whether it's Concord, New Hampshire, or whether it's in St. John's, Newfoundland, whether it's in a lot of sun or a lot of rain, whether it's in the cold or it's in the warmth, it really doesn't make a difference. See, the circumstances don't matter. By the way, the people don't really matter. I will love you as much as I love them, and I will love you as much as I will love whoever God brings in my path. But we have to look at things from the right point of view. And sometimes we forget to serve God in light of that which is eternal. Warren Wiersbe said, if we walk by sight and view God through the problems, we will fail, like the Jews at Kadesh Barnea. But if we look at the problem through the greatness of God, we will have confidence and succeed. That's the approach David took with Goliath. Which approach do you want to take in life? You want to be the children of Israel, then wandering through the wilderness there to die because you couldn't believe in the greatness of God? Or do you want to be David, who will stand there and say, today I'll claim the victory for my God's name? It really comes down to how you view the disappointments. How do we handle disappointments? See the good that God is doing in everything. Search out His ordained purpose and seek the necessary help. And in it all, always serve Him in light of that which is eternal. We serve a great God and a great Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. When we focus on Him, and when we see Christ, what's the hymn writer say? The things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It changes our perspective about ourselves and reminds us just how unimportant we are. See, God's work continues with us or without us. God doesn't need you, and God doesn't need me. But what He wants is people that faithfully serve, even through the disappointments, as He molds a masterpiece for His glory and His honor. Let's pray together as we close. Father, thank You for our time tonight. We ask and pray that You would bless us now as we go our separate ways for this remainder of our week. We pray that, Lord, we would seek to serve You in all things. And Father, I pray that You would do a work in the heart and life of every person here tonight. Father, if we are not living with the right perspective, if we're not living in view of eternity, if all we can see is our own selfish desires, then, Lord, I pray that we would get our eyes fixed and focused on Jesus Christ and see Him and Him only. Father, if we haven't been handling our disappointments well, maybe we've stopped serving and we haven't been thinking about things eternally, then I pray that You would change our viewpoint even tonight. So Lord, we thank You that Your word gives us these practical thoughts to help us, because Lord, all of us will face disappointment. We may even find it tomorrow morning. Help us, Lord, to live in light of eternity, that we can be to the praise, the honor, and glory of our Savior at His appearing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight.